So I've been working on my authorization service, and it's totally sweet. It's only taken me 6 months to build it. Just 6 months. I started implementing some basic RBAC library, but that wasn't enough, obviously. So I designed relationship-based fine-grained authorization for the highest security possible. And then, to make it super fast, I used a GPU tower, running in my mom's basement, of course, connected via optic cable to bare metal server at my local esports lounge, permissions, restrictions, and admin. Nailed it.
Wait. Whatever you did sounds cool, but like, there's also another option.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with permit.io. Permit is the full-stack authorization platform created so you never have to build permissions again. Build and manage permissions for any application with policy as code, APIs, developer-friendly SDKs, and user-facing UIs. Permit is an end-to-end authorization platform built on top of open-source policy engines. It's high-performing, gets decisions in less than 10 milliseconds, and uses a hybrid approach where config is in the cloud, but data and decisions are made locally. Not only is it intuitive, it lets you implement fully functional authorization in 5 minutes, not 6 months, and in the code base you prefer. Check out the link in the show notes or go to permit.io to learn more. That's permit.io. Sign up for Permit and stop rebuilding auth.
We thought we would go and help small businesses build their platforms. A year into our baby, we actually had Lionsgate call us and needed our services. So now M2 is a platform engineering company that is helping Lionsgate be the leader in the digital media supply chain management.
This was a crazy idea between two metalheads and punks. To fast forward a little bit, what we really wanted to do with M2 was be a one-stop boutique shop for everything that is needed.
My name is Erin Marie.
My name is Jesus Maria.
And we are the leaders of M2.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
Took 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing at the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know what
to do next.
Took
many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
The company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve.
Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a pain.
Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time. The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, mind
you. Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really want
it. It's not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story. I'm your host, Noah Labhart. And today, how Erin Marie and Jesus Maria built the platform engineering hard cloud punk show to code fast and not mess around. This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools lack proper security, putting sensitive data at risk. With Kiteworks MFT, companies can send automated or ad hoc files in a fully integrated, highly secure manner. The solution is FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense and has been so since 2017. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. This episode is sponsored by ClearQuery. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. With Ask ClearQuery, you can find valuable insights into your data using plain English. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify your data analytics with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. Erin Marie has been in tech for 20 years. She went from web developer to programmer analyst to cloud engineering and met her current business partner at Boeing. Outside of tech, she is into amateur photography, capturing landscapes and portraits. She's also passionate about film, with her favorite grindcore film titled They Call Her One Eye. Jesus Maria comes from the Caribbean and enjoys beaches and being near the water. When he is not coding or coming up with crazy tech ideas, he describes the amount of heavy metal he listens to as obscene. He has 6 guitars, all tuned differently, and loves to take breaks from his tech and throw down a new riff. He's also passionate about art and into doing illustrations. Erin and Jesus are stationed in Denver, Colorado. During the pandemic, they were hanging out at the backyard picnic table with wine and smokes, ideating over building a digital strip mall to help local businesses build their platforms. Eventually, they started up a platform engineering company, and when Lionsgate called, their pandemic picnic table idea started to grow. This is the creation story of M Squared.
M Squared was formed during the pandemic times over a backyard table, a bunch of wine and a bunch of cigarettes, keeping our safe distance. Initially started out as a digital strip mall. We thought we would go and help small businesses build their platforms. And then it grew as a year into our baby. We actually had Lionsgate call us and needed our services. So now M Squared is a platform engineering company that is helping Lionsgate be the leader in the digital media supply chain management.
This was a crazy idea between two metalheads and punks during that stressful time of the pandemic where we were trying to figure out what to do and everybody was in their homes. We decided, like she said, literally with masks on, 6 feet apart, let's do this. To fast forward a little bit, what we really wanted to do with M Squared was be a one-stop boutique shop for everything that is needed. Being from in the days of enterprise and large companies, seeing how other consulting firms work, we knew that we could do things within our collective structure, where Aaron leads the way, I come up with ideas, and then we work with collaborators to help us out. We operate more like an art collective or a band. And that actually has yielded its fruits when Lionsgate came into contact with us, because it was our philosophy of how to operate. I think jokingly, maybe it was you, Aaron, that said, or one of our friends, that you might be able to listen to a song of Rush that takes 14 minutes, but you guys deliver everything on three-chord punk structure way faster and way more detailed because of our approach to minimalism. We reduce bloat. We don't talk a lot of meetings. We just sit down and do our thing. M Squared has done in about maybe 8 months what takes other companies 3 years, which is based completely rooted into our punk philosophy and approach to delivering solutions. Crazy that the first year, I think, of us, we were like, oh my God, are we able to do this? And then we came up with our own products, we came up with our own things that no one has ever done, apparently. That kind of just kept us going, and now we just want more people to adopt a little bit of the philosophy that we have. I think that's a big differentiator of us, the way we operate philosophically.
Tell me about like the MVP, and I'm curious, what would be the MVP for M Squared? Maybe it's that first version right after the pandemic picnic table conversation, right, where you were trying to build the digital strip mall. Tell me about that early version of your company. And what sort of tools were you using to bring yourself to life?
Our very first MVP is what we are now calling M Cloud Plus. That is essentially a shrink-wrapped cloud. And we are cloud native, so we will adapt to either Google Cloud, Azure, or AWS. We do tend to work more in AWS, as that's a lot more familiar to us. So what mCloud Plus became was a cookie cutter way of being able to spin up your VPCs, your availability zones, including if EC2 instances are needed, storage, and all of that written in Terraform.
Our mCloud Plus technique can pretty much deliver you an entire cloud within like probably 15 minutes. But then that matured a little bit more. We also have added two more products, one labeled Media Seller, in which we basically created a digital asset management, cloud native, no server, no one needs to download an MP4 to preview it and approve it. You can just stream it, say approve and ship to a destination point like a Dropbox or whatever for somebody that needs that content. But we wrote it in days, and it became a hit within our client base. And our choices, we are a Golang shop. It has a relatively low footprint, a lot of flexibility, and allows us to build containers for our API services, for example, sometimes within 10 megs. And then we also discover from others in the industry how the handling of metadata was not entirely flexible. So we have a third MVP that developed from this original cloud idea, which is called mCapture. And I'm actually going to use this podcast as an example. You can actually tag this episode with multiple things, and you can actually distribute those tags somewhere else, and you will always find this episode, not exactly how it did, and you can append information to this specific podcast and see how well it did, for example. A technique that we do with mCapture is being able to get a title and grab information from IMDb, for example, grab information from IDAR, and essentially it acts as a little bit metadata backbone that almost consumes no space. But the real flexibility of that MVP that we created is that now a customer or a client or a production house can select the type of data that they want to store. You want to make a rating a decimal, or you want to make a text? Do whatever you want with it. It's flexible enough for your backend enterprise systems and other systems like Salesforce to accept from our platform however they need the data. Another little thing that grew from the proverbial napkin that actually people were like, wait, no one has done that before. Like, I get to pick the data model? Yeah, you do.
This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools are dated and lack the security that today's remote workforce demands. Companies that continue relying on outdated technology put their sensitive data at risk. And that's where Kiteworks comes in. Kiteworks MFT is absolutely the most secure MFT on the market today. It has been FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. Through FedRAMP, Kiteworks' level of security compliance provides a fast route to CMMC compliance, saving customers time, effort, and money. Kiteworks MFT makes it easy for users to send automated or ad hoc files via fully integrated shared folders and email. Administrators can manage policies in a unified console and create custom integrations using their API. Did we mention it's secure? The level of security with Kiteworks solution is rare to find. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. That's kiteworks.com. This episode is sponsored by Cachefly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where Cachefly comes in. Cachefly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, Cachefly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only Cachefly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5 terabyte CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cachefly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. So then you've got, you know, your MVP, you've got your suite of products that people are liking, they're seeing things that they're not, you know, they're not used to getting, the flexibility that they're not used to getting, right? I'm curious about how you progressed the company and the products there from a product side and also from the business side. And I think to wrap that in a box a little bit, what I'm looking for is how did you build your roadmap, right? How did you decide, okay, this is the next most important thing to build or to address with M Squared?
The way we best describe our roadmap, it's a canvas on the wall. We throw the core center paint up. This is what we're building. This is what we're doing. And then we essentially throw other paint jobs at that canvas. And we see which color of that canvas, of those jobs, strike the most. And that becomes our roadmap. As an example, when we were doing the MVP for Media Seller, a lightweight DAM, We actually filled it out to two different clients of ours, and we literally saw which one had the largest amount of users interested on it. And that made our roadmap, because the roadmap for us is making the product flexible enough that we can modify it or enhance it or extend it as a different product itself, but on the same foundation for that paint job that had the strongest color. So if I'm going to get 20 users, that kind of defines that more powerful paint job color on the canvas. And we don't put a structure in between that center point of the first paint job and the one that has the most color. Now we just know we have to just fill that gradient as flexible as possible as we can. And this is one of the reasons that our structure and the way we operate has been successful for us thus far, because we actually follow it in a very visual manner. We don't look at roadmaps as steps or as little lines on a milestone. We just look at from going from one color to the other. And the same way with our paint job analogy is the same way the metadata came out, the same way our other MVP came out. It's like, now we can do this. This color, people are liking it. I got this bright red over here. Let's just go and build a gradient on both. What really defined it for us is seeing the reaction to what we built and look at what other companies that they were using before, or other software providers were doing, that they were eventually pretty much abandoning 2 years later. So our roadmap is really built on, let's say, somebody spends $500,000 on a licensed product that doesn't get used in 2 years because of change of management or change of operations, and it essentially just gets abandoned on the side. Our model was build something that is so modular, flexible, tiny, and adaptable that it can actually adapt with those changes in management, those changes of turnover. I think one of the biggest differentiators of M Squared is that we think as a technology company to build our products, but since we're more involved in the creative space, we think about the creative side and how creatives think.
Another great reason why we consider that canvas analogy is because we can keep stretching that canvas. So we don't put any limitations on ourselves. And hearing the feedback from our customers and clients, we're able to tailor a specific need for them. And so our roadmap essentially is a what do you need, baby? And we'll handle it with white gloves and a black tie and give you something efficient, lightweight, and lean.
Okay, so am I to understand it's you both on the team right now? Is there anybody else in the team?
It's mostly Aaron and I. We also, again, like I said, we operate in a way that is a band coming to town. So for our customers, sometimes we, even the way we do our brief presentations for something we're about to do, we even do it like a punk flyer. And when we do platform engineering versus software development, we call it the Hard Cloud Punk Show. And that's a little bit unconventional in a way, but that kind of has been our approach to that.
If there are resources that we need, we have friends in the industry that will come on, help get the project done, push that milestone, and then they'll roll off.
It's like our roadies. We operate in a way that is almost roadies. Aaron and I are the face. We communicate, we present, I design, I architect, and then we got roadies. That's the best way to describe it.
So what do you look for in those roadies, in those people, to indicate that they're the winning horses, or let's say they're the best musicians to come back on tour?
They gotta be crazy like us. That's right off the bat. The things that we look at in our software roadies are people that have the same type of creative mind. We actually prefer people that are not computer scientists. We prefer people that come from a different place. That has been our experience. So we look for people that are actually very good at their software craft that are actually not computer science people. We like Keith Moon. You might be a little rough around the edges when it comes to your drumming, but everybody's gonna remember you. So we look for those type of personalities where they're very creative, very loose with their style, but then when it molds to what we're creating, they go and do it. And another thing that we like is a little bit of this nomadic personality where they want to work on what we're working and then they want to work on something else, because at the same time, that avoids burnout for that person. It's like a drummer, right? Everybody remembers a very good drummer, but those are the people that float in and out the most. So we're really following that philosophy. The more creative you are, but you know how to write on Golang, you understand very well what APIs are, and then you want to actually just fill up a coloring book at the end of the day, those are the people that I want to be my roadies. And also, more important, I think one of the most important things for the people that we look for, you gotta like the movie Airplane. Believe it or not, that's a criteria for working with us. If you can do a joke, if you can quote a line, or if you can laugh, you're not gonna be a roadie if you are not able to laugh. We have been breaking the barriers of what corporations and corporate entities are. That's what makes us punk. But we don't do it in an anarchic way that we're gonna throw a Molotov cocktail and say this is the way it should be done. No, we do it with laughter, bending the rules a little bit. But at the same time, we wrote 4 million lines of code in some months only because of this technique.
Hello, welcome to the Data Analytics Club. Do you know the password?
No, didn't know there was one.
Do you know how to code?
No.
Do you know how to query data?
Like, ask a question? I guess not.
I see. Then you can't be in this club. Sorry. Goodbye.
Don't be left out of the Analytics Club. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. ClearQuery provides you with the information you need without requiring you to do the heavy lifting. Their Ask ClearQuery feature allows you to ask questions in plain English, helping you find relationships and connections in your data that may have previously gone unnoticed. You can even visualize your data with presentation mode, taking your data storytelling to the next level. Pricing is based on storage, not licenses, and that ensures that you get the most bang for your buck. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify data analytics, your data analytics, with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. This episode is sponsored by CashFly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where CashFly comes in. CashFly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, CashFly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only CashFly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, CodeStory listeners can get a 5 terabyte CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cashfly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. My next question will be interesting because there's the products you're building, there's the projects you're taking on and how you go about that, but there's also your business in general, which, you know, it likens to a band, right? Which a band is not super scalable. So I'm going to ask about scalability. Did you build the products and then build your business to be scalable and efficiently scalable? Or are there any areas where you've had to fight this as you've grown?
Jesus and I work well together. We feed off of each other, his intuition, his foresight, and then I'll go and code the architecture that he's put together. We do see ourselves scaling in the sense of the collective. We prefer to keep us small and lean, and that helps with reducing that overhead cost. We don't intend to see ourselves as having a brick and mortar or needing an HR department, and we like to keep it minimal.
I think the model that we have built is to avoid implosion. We don't want to be a company that gets known for laying off people. We don't want to be the company that scales so fast, so large, that they has to lay off 30% of our roadies. We take this approach where we keep it humble, we keep it DIY, and we keep it honest. I think that's the most important thing here about our model, is that we're actually honest. We actually just want our dedicated fan base. That's really, we just want, we want actually the 20 guys on the front row that scream the loudest, that is on every single club. That's what we want. We don't want our name on a building. We work remote and are fiercely remote, and we don't even want an office ever. It keeps our software costs down. It keeps our clients' costs down because they don't have to pay overhead. Now, we don't have a foosball in an office that somebody actually has to pay for. When you keep it lean, means is that you're actually functioning very well and efficient. Aaron over here, I'm going to put you on the spot. You single-handedly have done platforms that have been 99.99999247 running, and you did them yourself. Sometimes some people have said that we feel like a punk hippie community, and yeah, it pretty much is. What we have built already handles the traffic of terabytes and terabytes of movies, subtitles, color corrections, and it does all on its own. It's really been running there with no maintenance. We just push an update based on something we need to update, and it just keeps running. Two people that are talking to you right now really have developed a platform that has been running for about maybe 9 to 10 months solidly, transferring and moving content with no interaction at all. And wait until we bundle AI on it.
So this will be for both of you. As you step out on the balcony, you look across all that you've built. What are you most proud of?
I am most proud of the ability to lift and shift platforms, the ability to provide quality service for our customers. The best thing that when I see a smile on my customer's face, that lights my day. And I love that we have built lightweight, scalable products that could be produced from any cloud provider.
The way that I will define it is that M Squared has actually been able to keep its attitude and integrity with no compromise. We never expected to be able to say that. And the fact that Aaron and I, with our collective model, and the fact that we are two punks that can probably, and this is going to be my only brag in the whole thing, we probably do things better than anybody that has a staff of 100 developers, we actually are able to stand in front of that crowd and say, yeah, yell with us. Yeah, I know we love it. You love it. This is our highest achievement that I'm very proud of, is when we are able to take a meeting that we're invited to and our punk attitude is able to be shown because our products and our stealth way of doing software allows us to actually sit on camera wearing metal t-shirts. And on the other side of the camera is probably three times the amount of people wearing suits. And at the end of the day, the stuff that works better is the one with the two people wearing metal t-shirts.
Yeah, and to echo that, coming from government, corporate, startups, we actually get to be true to ourselves. And that's been really refreshing.
This will be interesting and sometimes painful. Let's flip the script a little bit. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you both and your band responded to it.
From our product perspective, and this is an honest answer, not arrogance, we haven't yet. We have made mistakes internally as we were figuring out how to stand up aspects of our business, of things in between us too, as we were navigating what is the actual legalities, fiduciary stuff that we had to learn ourselves. From our product quality, from our delivery of services, right now, luckily, we haven't fumbled a guitar chord.
So as Jesus said, the business side of starting a company has been part of the learning curve. The challenge of payroll and business insurance and filing taxes, that has been, because we are cloud engineers, we're not accountants, we're not CPAs, we're not lawyers. We did take our time and researched a ton. And slowly, meticulously, we then crafted how M Squared as a company is shaped. We did reach out to friends that specialize in those areas, and somehow we actually did things the right way. I would say our careful approach helped us. It was a 3-year learning curve, and sure, it is tax season, so we still have struggled to put together profits and loss and have to stare at Excel spreadsheets, which I'm not a fan of. Perhaps we could have hired those individuals to help us, but like, we are the two punks and we think we can do everything ourselves.
Our accountants and our lawyers are also part of our collective. We have friends part of the collective that are legal representation for some things we're looking for. We are also working on a project that we can talk about on this podcast, but it's a good product. We had to invite another lawyer on our collective because that was the first time with what we're building that we don't know what we're doing.
It's unknown territory.
It's unknown territory for us, so we had to another friend of ours, lawyer, to handle some of that stuff for a while, and then she's going to move on and do things with her firm. So we operate the same way on the back.
You're both obviously very passionate about what you've built. And I'm curious about, where are you going to take it? So what does the future look like for M Squared as a business, the products you're building, and for your team? What's the next tour?
I always had this dream. We want to be on the credits of a movie. We want to be credited on an album. And since we're in the industry, that's like our goal. Yes. It's to be on a movie credit. One time it was floated. I think our next step as a company, it's for our products to have more adoption. But at the same time, we want to keep our stealth image. We definitely want our M, which comes in different flavors. We have a punk M, a black tie M. We have a horror M. We really want to make our product line widespread, but we still see our software, our platforms being used in a way that almost everybody still wants to say, shh, quiet, it works for us, leave it alone. So we have this, and it is a conflict, I'll be honest. It is a conflict, I think. It's almost like we want M Squared to take its own character. As I get old and I get tired, I want two new faces to become M Squared. It's kind of like, for I'm from Puerto Rico, Menudo. I don't know if a lot of people realize that boy band Menudo was a rotating group of people after a certain age and where their voices change. And it may sound a little silly, but as I get older, as new skills come in, as new other engineers come in with newer skills, it's like that change of voice. I got to take a little bit of a back seat as a CTO and let somebody take it. And Aaron, take it away. But I think that's what we want to be.
I was thinking more of Guar. Yeah, I would love to see our products have their own personality and have more user adoption. We're not looking for a SaaS model, but more of a licensing per user and just getting that exposure out there. Now that AI is here, we are folding that into our products. So we want to keep up with the times, get ahead of the curve. And if there are features that our product need because some new cool flavor just came out, we'll adopt to that.
We never want to be a checkbox on an executive to get a bonus. We don't want to be that software company. We don't want to be a company where somebody comes in and says, we're going to implement this stuff and it's going to look good on me. Because at the end of the day, what happens with a lot of that enterprise and SaaS model is that people get stuck with something that they really can't use, or the operators or the engineers can write to. Sometimes a lot of the SaaS platforms, a lot of these internal systems, accounting comes into mind, it is done for management. But when you sit down and talk to the person that is actually using it, half of the time they hate it. We don't want to be those people. And we have built things modularly enough that we don't have to host it. You can host it if you want to. We'll host it for you if you want to, but we don't like that SaaS thing. A unique thing that I didn't mention is that there was this abandoned system of doing things that for some reason got abandoned, but we found it magical and it worked its way back into our lives. And it's the fact that aside the core logic that we build, we branch it out for any specific thing that a client needs without disrupting our main code base. And we just push our changes from their branch and we maintain their uniqueness. And it does, we sleep at night. It doesn't cause us any headache. It's like that little VIP thing on a concert too. Come meet us after the show. Come meet us before the show. And that's where we do these little things for you. So we definitely don't want to be that SaaS. We don't want to be that.
It's not a one size fits all.
Correct.
I've got one more question. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who has built the next big thing, right? They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world and can't wait to show it off to you both right there on the plane. Individually, what advice do you give that person having gone down this road a bit?
I would say stay humble. Keep your integrity. A lot of times when it comes to seeking funding and venture capitalists, when they want that equity, they also want to give you their input. So staying true to yourself is what I would suggest.
I have to echo that. I think your ethics come first. Even if you have to struggle sleeping on a park bench, stay to who you are. Don't sell out. Don't lose who you are, because that's going to eat at you on the long run. And it's going to affect people around you. You start losing what is important, which is number one, yourself and those around you. I say this from myself, which when I was a very driven enterprise individual, I faked who I was and I was traveling weekly, and it affected myself and my mental health. Every startup goes through the financial difficulties and financial hardships. You still have to tune all out and remember who you are. It will truly affect your mental health if you lose track of who you really are. Sure, has there have been moments that we have been thinking about giving up? Oh my God, this is so hard. We have so many different things to take care of. This is going to be hard. But I think it's that integrity that has got us through those times and to have the smiles that we have today. And if somebody doesn't like him, then you don't want to be in business with that person. I'd rather be praised for who I am, and I think that's something that a young entrepreneur needs to value. It is who you are. What M Square has built doesn't define who I am, who Aaron is, who the punks and roadies that come in and contribute software are. We're just simply the thing that you see from our products, but at the end of the day, we're just simply individuals that like to have fun, like to play our music, like to watch grindhouse movies, and we smile and joke at the end of the day. We don't forget who we are, and I don't want any young entrepreneur to forget who they really are.
That's fantastic advice. Well, Aaron, Jesus, thank you for being on the show today, and thank you for telling the creation story of M Squared.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And this concludes another chapter of Code Story. Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Labhart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.